Open your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 14 is where we're going to be. As you're turning, let me mention just a couple of announcements to us before we get into our message. I want to mention, as we did last week at our stewardship, our vision banquet that we had this past Sunday night a week ago, that we have next coming Sunday is going to be our all-tithe Sunday. And that's a Sunday where we are encouraging all of us to bring a week's tithe to the Lord. We try to do this every year following our stewardship emphasis. And it's always an encouragement for us to see the way the Lord has provided and the way God blesses when we all as a church family give. I know many of you, you do that regularly, but especially for those of you, that's just been a hard step for you to take in your life as a steward. I want to really encourage you to take that step next Sunday and bring a tithe of a week's income. And let's just see what the Lord does. Also, secondly, just a quick note, you know that yesterday our county lifted the mask mandate that has been for several months now, and we've tried to abide by that with our staff, but we are not requiring that of our staff anymore since the mandate has been lifted. And we would encourage you to continue to wear a mask. If you'd like to do that, please feel free to do that. We want you to be able to feel free to do that. So please feel welcome to do that if you feel that that's what you should be doing. We would certainly encourage you to do that. And then finally, tonight, you know, we have our 5:15 prayer meeting every Sunday evening. This evening at 5:15, we're going to focus on praying for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters. You know that we have many in our church family. We are really privileged. We are blessed to have many Ukrainian families in our church. And they have loved ones, family, and friends that are over there right now. Some of them in the country, some of them haven't gotten out, some of them still trying to get out, and so there's just a lot, if you can imagine, just putting yourself in their shoes over there right now. Been very, very burdened about this ever since the invasion began earlier this week, and just want to take some time tonight, and I would encourage you to come if you can. We meet right in here at 5:15, and our focus tonight is going to be praying for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters, so we would encourage you to come. Please do that if you can. Well, today is the last message in our stewardship series that we have this year. And you know our series has been entitled God's Glory and Your Goods. And the focus that we've had this year is on how do we bring God the maximum amount of glory with the goods that He has placed in our possession. And throughout this series, we have covered it, considered the series, our goods, from four different perspectives. We began, first of all, with acquired honestly, and then managed effectively, given obediently, and then shared generously. Now, we have to keep in context what is the emphasis of the series. We are trying to come to grips with how we can best bring God glory. How we can give God the most glory from what God has provided for us so graciously. How do we do that? Well, we're trying to look at it from these four perspectives. We know a steward is one who takes care of another's goods. And so we have to first have the goods. And so a few weeks ago we began saying that the first step in our stewardship is acquiring goods. You can't care for something you don't have. You can't give something you don't possess in order to give. You have to have something to give in order to give. And that week we focused on recognizing the ownership of God. He owns everything, all the places, all the possessions, all the people. He owns everything. And then we recognize our partnership. And our partnership with God in this, the primary way in God's economy that we acquire goods honestly is through plain old hard work. That's the way God has designed it. That's our partnership. We work, and then God's role in that partnership is provision. He provides strength and ability for us to work, and He provides every single need that we have, and we've all seen Him do that in our lives. That's acquiring goods honestly. Then we looked a couple of weeks ago at the second step of a steward, which is managing those goods effectively. Once we've acquired them, once we now have them, whatever those goods are, remember, those goods may be financial, they may be talents, they may be time, they may be children that the Lord has placed in our hands. Whatever those goods are, once we've acquired them honestly, then we focus on managing them effectively. And the way that we manage them effectively has to do with what kind of steward we are. Are we a good steward? Are we a poor steward? Are we properly caring for those goods to give God maximum glory? And how do we do that? Well, we do that, we manage those goods effectively by beginning with the right foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then using those goods wisely. And remember, we talked about establishing boundaries as it relates to our goods, whether those goods are our finances and our boundary is a budget, or whether it's our time and our boundary is a schedule, or whether it's our children and our boundary are, we have family guidelines, we have family regulations, we have family expectations. Whatever it is, there has to be boundaries or you're not going to be effective in managing those goods. We took some time to look at that during that time. So our goods have to be acquired honestly and managed effectively. Then last week, we looked at given obediently. After we acquire the goods honestly and we manage them effectively, that third step is for us to be able to give them obediently. And that, of course, was a message that dealt with the important subject of our faithfulness in giving, our tithing. Tithe means tenth, and God expects that we give a tenth of our income to the Lord. God intends for us to do that. Actually, I think when you get into the New Testament, He goes even beyond that. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. Today, we're focusing on the subject, how do we give God maximum glory with those goods after we have acquired them honestly, managed them effectively, given obediently, and here's the fourth thing, shared generously. God is given maximum glory when you and I are in a position so that we share our goods generously. And that's going to be the focus this morning. And I really can't think of a better illustration of sharing goods generously than what you find in Mark 14. Mark 14 is a familiar passage to us, a wonderful story, that event in the life of Christ. And let's begin, and we're going to read the first 9 verses here. Follow along as I read. Mark 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And we, of course, going through the Gospel of Matthew, we know that story. They're constantly trying to trick and as he's heading toward the cross to put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. What we're wanting to do, we've got to be careful on a feast day. That's going to create quite a stir. Verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he was a well-known follower of the Lord Jesus in the day. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now, we would think in terms of ointment, you should read there perfume. That's the way we would think of it today. It's from a plant that comes, I think it's original to India, but it's a very aromatic perfume that this woman has, and she pours it. And this woman, you know, is Mary of Bethany. Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus, this is Mary of Bethany. So she pours it over the head of the Lord Jesus. John's gospel says she wipes it, pours it on his feet and wipes them with the hairs of her head. Verse 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, that's about a year's wage, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. So here's the picture. This woman has given, she has shared so generously this ointment, this perfume that we would say in those days would have been likened to the value of about a year's wage. And she lavishly pours this out, springing from her heart of love and thanksgiving to the Lord. She lavishly pours this out, and then you hear what the folks there had to say. They murmur against her about this. In verse 6, here's the Lord Jesus' response. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She's actually wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, remember that phrase always means truly, listen to what I'm telling you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her, of for a memorial of her. That's the Lord Jesus' response. I don't think we could find a more lavish example of sharing goods generously than what we find here with Mary of Bethany. This is what we call grace giving. Tithing is giving what God expects from us. Grace giving is giving beyond that. And this morning, we're going to consider the explanation of grace giving, and then we're going to look at some examples of that in the scripture, and then close with how you and I experience that to the fullest, to bring God maximum glory. That's what we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to be looking at several different passages of scripture today. I wanted to read this one primarily as an illustration of grace giving. Let's pray as we look at the passage. Dear Lord, we're looking at different places in your word today, and we are moved by the example. We think about what we've just heard sung to us about the mercy tree and how gracious and how you have lavished mercy and grace upon us through Christ. And what an appropriate response from Mary to give and share so generously what you had put in her possession. And so, Lord, we pray as we look at your word this morning that you would teach us by your Spirit. We're helpless apart from that. So open up our eyes today. Cause us to behold wondrous things out of your law. And instruct us, we pray, by your Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, the explanation of grace giving. What is that? And grace giving is giving that we do in direct response to the grace of God. That's the way we're going to say it. Grace giving is giving that I do in direct response to the grace of God in my life. You know what God's grace is. God's grace is unmerited favor that's shown to us. It's God divinely enabling me to live in every way that He wants me to live. I can't do that on my own. I need the grace of God working in my life, so God gives me this enablement. I don't deserve it. None of us does. But that's why it's grace. It's unmerited favor. God in His graciousness pouring out His mercy upon us. This is God's grace So grace giving is my response to that. Once I become aware of the tremendous grace of God working in my life, then I become a real giver. The more intimate my relationship is with God, the more I want to give to Him. The more I want to give every aspect of my life to Him. And you know that story. You know in your own life, just like I know in mine, when I stray, when I wander away from the Lord, I am not as in tune to giving to God as I am when I am really walking with the Lord. And God is encouraging my heart, and there's a vibrant relationship there. There's something going on between me and God. I want to give God, to give to God with my life during those times particularly. This is what it is. It's me giving beyond what God expects of me in a tithe. That's especially set apart as a possession for Him. But grace giving is a sacrificial gift that I am making to God in direct response to my seeing the grace of God working in my own life. All of life really is a testimony of the grace of God working in us. For every one of us, every breath that we take, even our tithe, the very fact that you and I have something to give as an act of God's grace in our lives, making provision for us. But grace giving is the giving that we do beyond that. So in addition to that explanation, I want you to look at several examples that we find in the Bible. There are several examples, and we're going to begin with Israel. The Old Testament people of God, if I could put it that way. The people of Israel. Some think, you know, that in the Old Testament, there's no grace there. It's just a book of law, and there's no grace. They think grace only comes when you get into the New Testament. But there is actually a lot of grace working in the Old Testament as well. And I want you to see that this morning. I want you to see it, first of all, in a free will offering. When we think about grace giving, we might look at that in the context of a free will offering in the Old Testament. There were many sacrifices and many offerings that were prescribed in the Old Testament sacrificial system. And here we're talking about a free will offering. It's something that we would read of in Deuteronomy 16. I have this on the screen for you, 16:10. "And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with the tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee." So this was an offering. It was actually an expression of their self-sacrifice, and it was to be given, as you see there at the end of the verse, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Now God regulated how and where this freewill offering would be made, but the giving of it was completely voluntary. It wasn't a required offering. God did regulate if it's going to be given, it's going to be given this way and this place. But it was completely voluntary for the people. It was a free will offering. There was no required amount, only the privilege of responding to the grace of God in one's life. That's the way they would give. You see also grace giving in the house of worship. You see that in the tabernacle very easily. You know, while the people are traveling, they're traveling kind of like nomads in the wilderness, and Israel constructed the tabernacle as a place of worship. They were very well aware of the grace of God. They had lived through the plagues of Egypt. They walked between those parted waters of the Red Sea. Their slavery had been transformed into freedom, not because they deserved it, but because of the goodness and the grace of God in their lives. And we're studying that, of course, on Wednesday night in that book, The Red Sea Rules. Well, as a response to the grace of God in their lives, they became a giving people. They have this tabernacle. There are different craftsmen were appointed to the task of constructing the tabernacle. And the remainder of the people voluntarily gave the materials for the job. You see that in Exodus 35, verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. So you know that. God gave very deliberate and distinct instructions about how that tabernacle was going to be built. That was what was commanded by the Lord through Moses. And then the people began to give. Can you go back? Let's just look back for just a minute in Exodus. Go back, if you would, please, to Exodus 36. I want you to see this here. This is an example here. Exodus 36. And we'll begin reading, for sake of time, let's begin in verse 3. Exodus 36, verse 3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary, these craftsmen, came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. So that's an example of free will offerings that are being made for the construction and the service of the tabernacle. They're responding to the grace of God in their lives, and they did this work. That's grace giving. Centuries later, you look and we come to the temple, and you've got a similar example of that. Solomon's temple, you know, was one of the great wonders of all time. Some people have estimated that the value of Solomon's temple in the hundreds of billions of dollars in modern currency. Well, you have a similar, go over to 1 Chronicles, and you'll see another example of this. 1 Chronicles 29, and you'll see an example here. Now, this is not the tabernacle, this is the temple that's being constructed now, and you know they're giving these. David has given a lot. Solomon's going to be the one who's building. Chapter 29, verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for one service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jeriel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So there's another example. These are free will offerings that are being given, and they're being given willingly. So you've got grace giving for the house of worship, and then you've got grace giving for the poor. That would be another example of the giving of the people here. Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. And then listen to these words on the screen. You see them, Deuteronomy 15. Thou shalt not shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Thou shalt surely give him, And thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. The people are challenged here to give willingly. No designated amounts here. They're just challenged to give willingly with an open hand to the poor. And as they give, it's a result of the grace of God working in their lives. Now I want you to look at the New Testament for a minute. Let's look at some examples here of the New Testament grace giving that you see there through the church. There was grace giving, first of all, to help others. In the New Testament, you see, the church is doing the same kind of thing in helping to meet the needs of others. Acts 2, as the church has begun, verses 44 and 45, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. There was an awareness, there was a giving to minister to the needs of other people. Then you see these verses, Acts 4, 32 and 34 and 35. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You see, they're just giving, grace giving, free will offerings that they're making to minister to the needs of the needy among them. Then you see grace giving to spread the gospel. I was interested with these verses in Philippians 4, verses 15 and 16. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. These are people giving for the spread of the gospel, giving freely, graciously, because of the abundant working of God's grace in their lives. And then, of course, when we think of examples, you cannot get beyond the greatest example, and that, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't see a bigger example of grace giving than what we see in Christ. The cross was Christ's grace gift, if I could say it that way, to the world. Here's the way Paul put it in Romans 5, verse 15. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, through Adam and the sin, many be dead, the consequences of sin, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. God sent Jesus, a grace gift to the world. And then, of course, what we read this morning, what Jason read, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ took on the sins of the whole world. God put his own son on the cross, so that you and I, though he had no sin, you and I who are full of sin, God put Jesus on the cross, gave him all of our sins, so that we could have his righteousness applied to our account. We who are full of sin. That's grace. That's the mercy tree that the men sang to us about this morning. So you see many examples throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament of this. What we're talking about, grace giving here. We're just responding freely to the grace of God working in our lives and the provision of God for us, and so we're just giving. in response to that grace. Well, finally, the explanation, the examples, I want to close in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. So can you turn there, just this one verse, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. I want you to see how you and I can enjoy the experience of grace giving, how we can do that in our lives. This, of course, follows chapter 8 that we just read earlier in our scripture reading. And this is the experience of grace giving. This is the way grace givers give. We give four ways here very quickly. First of all, individually. Every man, see that in verse 7? Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So every man, that means individually. Grace giving is an individual matter. God's grace works in our lives individually. And this, so I have an individual, personal response to the grace of God working in my life. And as I experience that, I want to be able to give back to the Lord. It wouldn't be grace if we were required to give this specific amount, but every Christian, every individual Christian, makes that determination for himself, and he's offering this grace gift in response to the grace of God working in his life. So he gives individually. Secondly, he gives sincerely, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So he's giving sincerely as he purposeth in his heart. And you know, God places primary emphasis on our heart, right? When we give, you look through the scripture, the primary emphasis is on our heart and the response of our heart as we give. It's not for show. God makes that very, very clear. It's not for show. It's a response of our heart. It's a matter of the heart. If we were forced to give, if we give with impure motives, then that's really not an expression of grace. Grace giving is the grace that I give. It's what I do. No recognition, not trying to buy influence, not trying to buy position, nothing like that. I'm just giving out of my response to the gracious work of God in my life. It's just overflowing. And we give with that kind of a heart. Thirdly, we give enthusiastically. And you see that not grudgingly or of necessity. Grudgingly has the idea of sorrowfully. It has the idea of painfully. And you can see that in the example of a child being asked to share a toy. If that child is forced to share that toy, they will share it. But they'll often share it sorrowfully, right? They'll share it painfully. They'll share it with the mindset that I would rather not give you this toy. But since I'm being made to do it, I'm going to give it to you. Well, that's giving painfully. That's giving sorrowfully. That's not giving enthusiastically. And so that's what the intention is. When you and I give, we don't give that way. Really, if that is your mindset, it would be better for you not to give. That is not grace giving. That's giving grudgingly. And God doesn't want us to give that way. And so he tells us that. Don't give grudgingly. Instead, give cheerfully, he says. And that's the fourth example there. And when we experience grace giving individually, sincerely, enthusiastically, and cheerfully, our giving ought to be really an enjoyable experience. God intends for it to be that way. He really intends for you and me, as we reflect on what was sung to us this morning from these men, and we reflect on that working itself out in my life in so many different ways, that we're constantly seeing just touches of the grace of God in our lives. And listen, none of us has to look far to see that. We just have to look. And you'll see your life, if you stop and you look at your life and reflect on the blessings that you have enjoyed in your life just this past week. That's the grace of God working. And we don't have to look far to see that. And grace giving is my just response to this overwhelming joy that God has so wonderfully blessed and guided my life and protected my steps and met every single need that I have had and beyond that. And now I'm just giving out of the abundance of grace and overflowing heart of love and thanksgiving to the Lord. So we go back to our story with Mary of Bethany. That was truly grace giving. Very much so, individually, sincerely, enthusiastically, cheerfully, Mary is opening up this vial of expensive perfume and she is just lavishing it out on the Lord. Shared generously. That's another step. Now, all four of these that we've looked at is this is the way God gets maximum glory. As you and I, as Bible Baptist Church, and the way we want to give to the Lord of our finances, of our time, of our talents, and in using those for the Lord's work, training our children up in the ways of the Lord, all of that acquired honestly, managed effectively, given obediently, shared generously. Now, can you just take just a minute and reflect on where are you in that process? Where are you in this process? If the focus has been, how do I give God maximum glory with what He's given to me? Okay, where are you in that process? Are you successfully moving forward, acquiring your goods honestly? If you are, if you've gotten to their base really well, then how's the management? Are you managing those goods effectively? Are there things that need to be shored up in those ways? With your finances, with your time, your talents, your kids, are there things that need to be shored up? Are you giving obediently? That's really the first step of our giving when it comes to our finances, is just being faithful, giving 10% of what God has given to us. And then, are you sharing generously? Do you live your life with an open hand? And when there's a need, whether that need is financial, whether it's a need for your time, whether it's a need for the skills, the talents, the abilities that God has given you, do you live your life with an open hand so that you're just sharing generously out of a thanksgiving for the grace of God working in your life? This is grace giving. I hope that all of us will be able to glean some things from this series that we've considered from the Scripture and be able to maximize giving great glory to the Lord by the way that we handle the goods that He's given to us. Let's pray. Lord, You are the great giver. You have given out of Your abundance. You possess all things. And You have graciously given. You give us life. You give us breath. You give us all things. And we acknowledge, as the psalmist, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We pray that we might not only praise You with our lips, but the way that we live our lives, may it be a demonstration of grace giving, You working so mightily in our hearts. Help us this way, Lord, we pray. Help us to live abundant lives, open hands, sharing generously out of the working of your grace in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.